2 Timothy, we're going to start at chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this. Write it down. Pay attention. Get this information. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. You get that? What did he just say? There will be terrible times when? In the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. You don't know anybody like that, do you? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Underline this in red. I have a marker system. You don't have to adopt it if you don't want to, but red means no warning, watch out, stop. Have nothing to do with them. You get that? There are some people you need to stay away from. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, you terrible women, you. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, circle you, please. I put these kinds of things in green because that's like the green light, go. You commanded, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. How about that? In time, every time. Oh, oops, I'm sorry, say it right. In time, on time, every time for me. You get that? In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, read with me, will be persecuted. Maybe, might be. Could be, will be. How many here have been persecuted for believing in Jesus Christ? If you are not being persecuted for loving Jesus Christ, it's because you aren't talking. You're being a secret agent Christian. And that's a no, no, no. Come on, get out there and get a little persecution coming your way. Put it on like a fragrance, okay? While evil men and imposters will go from bad to what? Worse. Deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know, circle that, no, you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Here's one of my favorite Bible verses. Put this down in a marking because this should be in the first part of your Bible when you open it up. Read it with me. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, so if I get tough with you, or a Christian brother or sister gets tough with you and you don't like it, what does it say? The Scripture is good for teaching. Rebuking? That's not fun. Correcting? That's not fun. Training? James, you love boot camp? You'd love to go back there, wouldn't you? Yeah, of course you did. Okay. Chapter 4, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, talk to people, tell them about your joy, tell them why you have reason for the hope that is in you. Be prepared in season and out of season. Look at this. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, green again, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, and yes, you have one. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me, get this, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Get this, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. How many are looking for Jesus to come back? Amen. Guess what you get? A crown. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Isn't that cool? That book was written by who? I was so proud because I didn't hear Timothy until go to the back of the class. No. It was written by Paul to Timothy. Yeah, there you go. Good deal. All right, super. May the Lord add a blessing to this, the reading of his word. We're going to break this down in a little tiny bit. Prayer requests. What's going on with Janet, Sharon?
She's in the hospital.
Yes. Well, I had you sit down because we're about ready to go here. I'm sure every one of you, and I had this problem this week. My buddy Rob has had this problem this week. Lots of us had this. How many of you get worn out? Tired? Just want it over? Well, here's your song.
So crying out is all that I have. broken life and all this dead inside can be reborn. My prayers are wearing thin. I'm worn even before the day begins. I'm worn and I've lost my will to fight. I'm worn, so heaven come and flood my eyes and let me see redemption.
There are TV evangelists, preachers, folks that are out there who will try to tell you that the power of positive thinking is the way to go. That if you just continue to believe and look, you will achieve your greatest victory if you just will only be positive. Sounds interesting. Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book a long time ago, and I blasted that in an English class when I was in college years ago. Because it's not true. It's not biblical. How many remember the book The Secret? Yeah, same principle. People out there try to tell you stuff that's not true because they can make money off the books. Just believing you can achieve and make something happen is not good enough. You need something to lift you up, something bigger and better and more powerful than you. I was in Boy Scouts. I was about 13 years old, and I was excited because they had arranged through our council to go to a college and do a swimming merit badge and a life-saving merit badge. I had already gotten the swimming merit badge and was excited to sign up for life-saving. It was a 5-week class every Saturday, and we were into week 3, and they told us that they couldn't extend the next 2 weeks because of something that came up with a pool. I was very upset, and being the rotten kid I was, I threw a little fit. Well, that's not fair! I want to get the badge. So this big old boy who is a scoutmaster about the size of Frank, he said, fine. I'm going to jump in the water. I'm going to be about 6 feet from the side. You pull me to the side, I'll give you your merit badge. Okay. He jumped in, I jumped in, I got my arm around him, I started to pull him, and he flipped over and jammed me under the water and held me under the deep water with his feet. I was drowning. I came up choking, spitting, screaming, crying, and you know what I said? That's not fair! I said that. It took me a long time to calm down. He said, son, if you're going to try to save somebody, you have to know how to do it. You obviously don't. I turn now to this book of 2 Timothy, which just basically starts out the same way. And you can follow along. We're going to kind of go through this thing. in a way that will make a little bit of sense, because we're just going to follow the book. But mark this. Pay attention. I cannot tell you how many times people have said to me, life's not fair, after they suffer something debilitating, whether it's an illness or a death or something going on. Life's not fair. To which I now respond, having learned the hard way, that's right. You will not find the power of positive thinking in the Bible. You will not find the point that life is fair in the Bible. As a matter of fact, we just read it. Mark this. Pay attention. Write it down. Be alert, alert, alert. Mark it. There will be terrible times in the last days. Now, I have to be real careful that I don't go too far with this, because I told you, growing up in the 70s and going into the 80s, it was kind of interesting, because that's when Hal Lindsey came out with Late Great Planet Earth, and it was real, real big. And as I told you, everybody at the time was getting caught up in the Jesus movement, and Jesus freaks were claiming that Jesus was coming back anytime soon, and Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. You know, and buying all those books I had, we had two full shelves of books back there on prophecy, people telling what they meant in the book of Revelation and Daniel and what was coming and what this sign was. And I finally, one day, I just had enough. After having a nice discussion with God, I took both of those shelves of books and I threw them in the trash so that nobody would be able to read them and be deceived. We don't know when the end is. As a matter of fact, when Paul wrote this to Timothy, he was thinking the last days were coming. So if that was 2,000 years ago, they're really closer now, aren't they? But I can tell you, in looking at the world, I can see some things that are worse now than they used to be. You know, at least you knew what right and wrong was. Now, we're not so sure. Mike just told me what the venue is going to be for the Super Bowl, the halftime show. And I'm like, what? It's insane. Terrible times are coming. And that doesn't mean for Christians. It means for the world, including Christians. People will be lovers of themselves. Do we see that? I mean, my goodness gracious. I went to Popeye's this week. You know, because they closed Kentucky Fried Chicken. I went to Popeye's up on 301, and I walked in because I don't like waiting for the drive-thru. You know, those cars just stack up. So I decided to walk in. There's this gal sitting there, standing there. Can I help you, she says. I says, yes. And as we're talking, I look at her finger. And I mean, I upgraded my wife's diamond ring, because that's what you do after so many years. You got to upgrade, you know, and I did. And it's a pretty nice ring, because it took time to build up to that. I mean, when I asked her to marry me, I gave her a ring that I'd already given two other girls and didn't work out. Then I bought her a real one, and then I went for the big, big one. And this gal's made my wife's pale in comparison. I said, man, that is some rock. She said, I know. I said, your husband must love you. And she said, I married myself. I said, excuse me? She said, yes, I married myself. Nah, come on now. Give me a. She said, no, I really did. I had a ceremony, and right before God, I married myself, and I gave me this ring. She was said serious. I said, are you a Christian? No. Are you a Hindu? Are you a Muslim? No. Well, what God? You know, God. I left. I couldn't take it anymore. People will be lovers of themselves. If you want, you can go up and ask her how you go about getting done if you really want. They're going to love themselves. They're going to love money. Goodness gracious, the stuff that's going on out in the world, especially now the gambling is going crazy. It's insane. Boastful, proud, abusive, we know where that comes from. And it's just all over TV. Randy won't watch any football. He's not going to watch football because of the commercialization and how the political movement has just taken over all of football. It doesn't matter whether it's college or pro. My house, it's a little tougher just to say we're not going to do that. So we wait until after the kickoff and then turn it on. But the commercials are tough. My wife went to Ohio State, so she likes to hear the sound of football. Boy, the commercials are just horrific. I just can't believe what they're saying on there. And I saw a show that had a t-shirt and this gal said, "The future is female." I'm thinking, oh no, we're in trouble. We're being shoved over and over about what's important, what's better, and what is more special than another person or a race or a people or a gender. Disobedient to their parents is a given. You heard the stories that went on that I hear from my wife. Parents don't even know how to correct their children anymore. Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, self-control, without it, brutal, not lovers of good. I mean, we're actually calling things that we used to call evil now as good and beneficial. My own family, my sister-in-law sent me some of the most horrific texts. She doesn't know whether I got the vaccine or not. Boy, I'll tell you what, she's just made it her grandstand. I can't even answer her back. I won't answer her back. I'm focusing on Jesus. I'm not focused on other stuff. But the words are just brutal and not loving, treacherous, the rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We talked about that last week. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Talked to somebody else this week. Been around the horn. Been to church. Not in church. Been to church. Not in church. "I'm just giving up," they said. "It's not going to get any better. I see no hope. I give up." Okay, now, remember what I told you weeks back. What is the premise of your dogma? That's a good line. I said that before, been in Asia. But what is the premise of your dogma? What are you saying in that line? "I just give up. I see no hope." You're saying there's no hope. There's no chance. There's no way. There's nothing that is going to save the day. Okay, now what's next? Because if you're not pulling a gun out to shoot yourself in the head, you've got to still live in this world. And Magi can't do that. You've got to be joyful. You've got to find it from somewhere. This week, Helga went with Katie and I, and we went out to see the Jesus music movie. Ever hear it? Anybody hear it? Jesus music movie? That's what it called? I think that's what it was called. Jesus music. It was a documentary, basically. We thought it was going to be a lot more music, but it basically documented the music from our day. Because in the 70s, back in my day, that's when Christian music really started going. And I was in kind of a high school band, and we played it, and we followed all those new original artists that were coming out. But before we went to the movie, we went out to get something to eat, and our waitress name was Nicole. By the way, always ask your waiter or waitress's name. "Can I help you?" they'll say. "Can I get you something to drink?" "Oh, yes. What's your name?" Ask them their name and call them by their name. If you do that, you'll get great service, but then you also have their attention. "So, Nicole, are you a Jesus girl?" "No." I get that a lot. I get that a lot. Which is not cause for me to stop saying or asking it. So I said, what happens? What do you think happens when you die? She said, well, you're dead. Now here's the interesting thing, was her face when she said it. You're dead. As if she was proclaiming a victory that she was smarter than me. I win! Like it was some kind of debate, and it's, I didn't get to say anything. She didn't want to hear anything. You're dead. What's the premise of that dogma? There's no life after death. There's no sense talking about it. Give up. Don't exist. Life's not fair. Just eke through until you turn to worm food. That can wear a man out. That can wear a woman down. That can make us give up. In the face of difficulty and trials, it can turn us all over the place into problems. Depraved minds. I don't want to read any more about the negative stuff. You've already heard it. These people already knew what Paul had gone through, how he'd been persecuted, whipped, tortured. My dad believes that Paul was killed at least twice on the road and came back to life by the power of God. He was left for dead. Yet God rescued him, it said in verse 11. He goes on to say, as we're painting this picture, in verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. How many here want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus? How many here want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus? I don't see every hand up. Okay, James is going to hell. All right. Oh, okay. He was one of those. He was the quicker. Okay, so it says here, if you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, what's going to happen? You will be persecuted. The only way you're not going to be persecuted is if you're hiding it. As I said, you're being a secret Jesus person. Which, let me put it this way. There's a lot of people that I've run across since I went into ministry, and I saw this happen when my dad was a pastor all my life. There's a lot of people out there get a little Bible knowledge, and they think they're smarter than the preacher. Let me tell you, there's a whole bunch of stuff that comes with this job, and it ain't even in that book. What goes on in reality with people, what they actually do, it's sad, it's sick, it's unbelievable. There's a lot of crazy stuff that's out there. What I'm telling you is that we will be persecuted. I'm telling you that with this job comes double punishment, double judgment if I get it wrong. So what I'm trying to say to you is that persecution is coming, and I'm not just pretending it. It's not fair. It's on its way. And if Jesus says that he wants you going out and sharing your faith, the reason for the hope that's in you, to explain the gospel, to tell people how they can know they're not dead, that they're going to heaven, and how they can have eternal life, if he tells you to do that and you're not doing that, that's a problem. I would rather face the slight possibility of rejection from Nicole than face Jesus and have him say, well, why didn't you talk about me? Do you see what I'm saying? Because if I talk to Nicole, whether she believes me or not, whether she accepts it or not, I'm a win. Because I've shared the faith. I get a prize from Jesus. I get a reward just for sharing it. You get that? Whether they believe it or not makes no difference. If they believe it, I get an extra bonus. How many here get bonuses or ever got a bonus at your job? Oh, yeah, that's what that lady at Aldi's told me. They get a bonus. They go, boop, 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 boop. Hey, you're not boop, 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 because you're just doing it for fun. You're getting money for it. So share your faith. Tell people. And in return, they're going to do what to you? Persecute you. They're not going to like you. They're not going to be happy with you. They're going to say things about you. They're going to tell folks, that guy was wrong. But let me take this a little bit further, because I want to get us to up here. Here's the fun part. He didn't like my sermon. Hell, he was leaving. So I'm like, I love you, lady. There are five crowns that everyone here in this room can actually get as a reward right here on this side of heaven, that when you get to heaven and stand before Jesus Christ, will give you special benefits in heaven. Did you hear what I said? Special benefits. Extra bonus. Not money, because money doesn't mean anything. I mean, the streets in heaven are paved with gold so pure, it's crystal clear. I tell people that I'll pay them with heavenly pavement when I get in heaven. You know, if I owe you anything. There are five crowns that you can win. Earn. Right here. Not win. Earn. Does that mean there are some people in heaven that have a better position? Everybody say yes. Yes. Telling people about Jesus is one of those things, but let me go through the list. If we want to do this and go in depth even further, we can. That's maybe a Bible study, but let me tell you what they are. The first crown is called the incorruptible crown. Everybody who believes in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior receives the incorruptible crown. It is non-perishable. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, you are in and you have entrance bonus. In other words, you get to go into glory with Him. Everybody has that. How many here has the incorruptible crown? Raise your hand. Yeah, everybody. That means you accepted and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You also have a crown of life. A crown of life, and we read this in James last week in our Bible study. And how you get the crown of life is by enduring trials. Remember we talked about trials? Trials come to everybody, and they come in all forms and fashions. Rob is going into a position, we're praying that his mother gets healed. But ultimately, she will die. Even if it's 50 years from now. My mother and father and brother have already passed away. I've gone through that trial. It's not fun. It's hard. But I can tell you, in going through the trial, keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ gave me benefits of endurance, strength, peace, comfort, things that the world cannot offer us. When you face a financial difficulty and you do it responsibly as God opens up doors of opportunity for you, whether it's sickness, a child that's giving you problems, a marriage difficulty, whatever trial comes, it is not something that is uncommon to everybody. We've all seen them. But you get a crown of life for enduring and getting to the trial. The next one is the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness is a crown that goes to people who start off with Jesus and finish with Jesus. You know, it's not uncommon here, especially in Florida, as people retire down here and they say, you know what? I was on the church board. I did all kind of volunteer work up here. I came down here and I'm retired and I'm not going to do anything now. I'm just going to just sit back and take it easy. I don't go to church. I don't get involved. That's not a crown they're going to get. You keep on going. That is to finish the race. Now, here's one. It's called the crown of glory. The crown of glory goes to people who are teachers of the Word of God. That would be me. I got that crown. How many here have ever taught anybody in a class or ever taught anybody individually about something from the Bible? Yeah, you got the crown. The next one is the crown of rejoicing, which is kind of cool. The crown of rejoicing means that you teach somebody and they actually learn it and do it. Not just hear you, but they do it. I had situations where I've taught people and it was as if I never sat in a class. No change, but if it becomes fruitful, it works. Now, there's one other crown. There's a sixth crown that you don't get to get, and that only goes to the apostles. You don't get that one. You have five crowns that you can earn by enduring the difficulties of this life. The trials, the difficulties, the persecutions, the please share your faiths, the hang in there, to keep looking to me, to see and depend upon me in your time of difficulties. And so if you ever worked for a bonus at your place of employment, this is a bonus to work for Jesus. He's not any different. He gives you bonuses along the way. So I'm going to try to get you up to here. I was scuba diving out in the Gulf of Mexico. We were on a boat. It wasn't even my boat. There was several of us out there, and we didn't really follow the old Mike Nelson rules back in the old day. You know, always stay with your partner. We just, you know, when you're out in the Gulf of Mexico and you're diving down there 70 feet, you're lucky if you can see 4 feet in front of you. And so we separate, and I came up, and I'm sitting on the boat, and I look out, and about a football and a half away is one of the guys. He's way out there. Swim in. I've had to swim that far. Come on, swim in here. But I could hear something in his voice that he just was tired or something. So it wasn't my boat, but the key was in the ignition. So I pulled up the anchor and I started up the boat and I drove out to him. As I'm going around him, I threw him a line and said, grab the rope. He's trying to grab the rope. I went back around again. Grab the rope. He said, I can't. And I heard something in his voice. And I instantly jumped off the motor into the water and I came up in front of him because I knew he was drowning. You know what he did? But I was a scoutmaster when my kids grew up. And I taught life saving because losing and failing that first time moved me onward. And I really wanted to learn. And when he did that, I already knew what to do. I just went underwater. Brought him with me. He let go real fast. I came up behind him and I grabbed him. And I said, let me explain something to you. We either are both going to be saved or you're going to die. I'm not drowning. Now, pay attention to what I say. He listened. I pulled him to the boat, and he's okay. God gives us the ability to get through trials and difficulties because he's given us three things. And Greg said it, and I said it, and the Bible said it. The first one is the Word of God. Don't tell me you love Jesus and you're not reading the Word of God. I will not listen to you. I don't want to hear it. If you are not reading the Word of God and you want to tell me what's going on in your life that's bad, I don't want to hear it. Because you just literally thrown out the instruction manual and you're trying to build life on yourself. And it's not going to work. The second thing he gives us is the Holy Spirit deep inside. You know that thing goes, wah, 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 stop, warning, don't do that. Or hey, 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 go say something to that person. That's the Holy Spirit. And the last thing he gives us is this, right here. We have each other. Get to know the people you sit in church with because they're your shipmates. They're your potential rescuers. They're the people who can pray for you. They're the people who can lean in with your situation and help take some of the weight off. What I'm saying to you is we've got it made. The world's going and we're floating on top. We're undrownable. So as life moves on and it looks like things aren't going to go well and you're saying, I'm never going to make it, what I'd like you to do is be positive and do what, follow this song, okay? Let's pray. Father God, we love you, we thank you, and we're looking forward to opportunities to go out into the world and save those onesie-twosies people that you lead our way. And we thank you for that chance. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Mike. I love this song. If we have it. What takes that thing so long, Mike? There we go. Pay attention to words.
Today, it all begins.
Come on, stand up.
I'm seeing my life for the very first time.
Do a different
lens. Yesterday, I didn't understand. Driving 35 with a rocket inside. Didn't know what I had. While I've been waiting to live, my life's been waiting on me. I'm gonna learn. No, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna know what it means to live. And my dress being light. The world's gonna hear. Cause I'm gonna shout. And I will be dancing with circumstances, drop the music out. Say I won't. Not enough is what I've been told. But it must be a lie, the spirit inside says I'm so much more. So let them say what they want. Oh, I dare them to try. I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna know what it means to live. But I'm just being alive. The world's gonna hear. Cause I'm gonna shout.
To you, make the choice. Go ahead, Vic.
Father God, the world is not fair. People love themselves. Terrible times are coming, and when we proclaim your word, we will be persecuted. But throughout our trials, we will endure, and we will prevail. And when your son comes again, we will wear our heavenly crowns, ruling and reigning with him forever. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.